Yom Ne'erayim is a strange time in the sense that it seems to be set off from the rest of the year. Right, there are tefillos we say in these days, slichas, chumras we have during this period of time, seris yimei tshuva and thing, which we don't carry through to the rest of the year. Some are set off. At the same time, it's certainly quite integrated to the rest of the year. Everything that happens now will determine the course of the following year. The Baal HaTanya writes in his commentary on Chumash Likutei Torah, Parshas Nitzavim, that we call the first day of the year Rosh Hashanah, not Tchilos Hashanah. Why do we call it Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year? Because just like the head dictates all of the motions of the limbs, so too, the first day of the year, Rosh Hashanah, is the Rosh for the Shana. It's not just the first day of the year, it determines everything that's going to happen in the coming year. Like a head that moves all the limbs of the body, everything that's Nigzar on Rosh Hashanah during this period of the year of Yom Ne'erayim is going to dictate what's going to happen the rest of the year. So in a certain sense, it's integrated with the rest of the year. On the other hand, it's somewhat set off. Asar Yom Shevei Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim is its own little time period. It's somewhat distinct from the rest of the year. How do we balance these two perspectives, attitudes we seem to have? So I'll tell you, I think they're integrated one with the other. The Pasuk says in Parashas, last week's Parashas, Parashas Vayelech, the Moshe Rabbeinu gave Teichacha to Klal Yisrael. The whole Parashas in giving Musa, Teichacha, Parashas, a continuation of Parashas Nitzavim. The Medrash even comments, in the word Vayelech was Teichacha. Ein Vayelech, el Lashon Teichacha. Where's the Teichacha in the word Vayelech? So Shem Yishmuel explains that Moshe Rabbeinu gave Teichacha to Klal Yisrael by his very hanhaga, by his very way that he conducted himself of always growing. Moshe Rabbeinu was always on the move. He was always going from place to place. He was never stationary, never stagnant, never complacent. Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly climbing. Vayelech Moshe, that was who he was. He was a goer, he was a doer. Parsh Vayelech, last week we read together Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim is Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem. So writes of Yaakov Ketina in the Sefer Minchas Ani. And Moshe Rabbeinu meant to contrast his mentality with that of Klal Yisrael. Atem Nitzavim, you guys are very happy being where you are. Inertia is keeping you there and, happy as a lark. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Moshe Rabbeinu was never satisfied. Moshe Rabbeinu was always Vayelech Moshe. He was constantly climbing, constantly going. That was the Teichacha. That was the Musar. However, at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, he says, Lo'uchal oid latzeis v'lavoy. I'm 120 years old today. I can't go anymore. Can't go anymore. Why can Moshe Rabbeinu not climb anymore? Lo'uchal oid latzeis v'lavoy. There was nowhere else to climb. Was he tired? Was he worn out? Was he deteriorating in old age? No, he wasn't. The pasuk says, "Ochasa einav onas lechay." He was still active. He still had energy. Why was he not climbing anymore? So Tzaddik explains, it's because Moshe Rabbeinu had reached such attachment with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could not be removed from that attachment. Moshe Rabbeinu already was described, "V'zois habracha sher beirach Moshe ish ha'elohim es b'nei Yisrael." Moshe Rabbeinu was already a man of God. And he couldn't detach himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you can't detach yourself from the Ribbono Shel Olam, if there's no Yerida, says Reb Tzaddik, there's no possibility for a greater Aliyah. Only when it's possible to have a Yerida, is it possible to have a greater Aliyah. Can Moshe Rabbeinu continue to climb if there could be a Yerida? Moshe Rabbeinu was so attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam, there was no place anymore for Yerida. In which case, there's no place anymore for Aliyah. Reb Tzaddik quotes the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin. The Gemara there says, Reb Zeir was once walking together with Reb Yehuda, and he saw Reb Yehuda was in a good mood. He could ask him whatever he wanted, Reb Yehuda would answer. Sometimes, you're together with a big Talmud Chacham, and Tzaddik, you're together in the car, you recognize it's a Shas HaKosher, you could ask whatever you want. Psach Picha V'Hidu Recha, you'll get an answer. You can peek behind the curtain, now I'll get the real, off the record, shot. Or I could ask anything that I want. Sometimes they're able to have that. Sometimes you're in a car with a Talmud Chacham, you see this is not the time to ask anything, we're going to prepare the shiur or something, Sometimes you get a moment of intimacy, you can ask questions. So Reb Zeira saw this was a vulnerable moment for Reb Yehuda. He could ask whatever he wanted, he would get an answer. So what did he ask him? He asked him, why is it that if goats and sheep are walking together, the goats will always walk before the sheep? That's his life's dilemma. That's what's been plaguing him, keeping him up at night. Why is it that the goats walk before the sheep? So goats are usually more dark-skinned. The sheep are usually light because of the wool. So the sheep are light-skinned. So he said, why is it that the dark-skinned animals go before the light-skinned animals? So Rabbi Yehuda responded to him, and he said, because that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. First it was darkness, then it was light, as the Pasuk says, Vayi Erev, Vayi Vayker Yoyim Echad. So the dark comes before the light, so too the goats go before the sheep. What in the world was he asking, and what was Rabbi Yehuda's response? Rav Tzadik explains, in the Rasisei Laila, that what he was asking is a Veltz Kasha. He was asking, how come every time I want to have an Aliyah in Ruchnius, it has to be a reader that precedes it? Why does it always have to be darkness? Why does it always have to be confusion before greater clarity? Why can't I just have clarity, more clarity, more clarity, more attachment, more attachment? Why does it have to be detachment and then greater attachment? Why does the darkness have to come before the light? And Yehuda says, I don't know. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But writes of Tzadik, if you look at Jewish history, you see that that's the way Jewish history has unfolded. Before every great Aliyah, there was always a Yerida that preceded it. Before Kabbalah Satorah, what was there? There was Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Golus of Mitzrayim. We had the Golus of Mitzrayim, darkness, before the greater revelation of Kabbalah Satorah. Before the Mishkan, we had to fail at the time of the Chet HaEgel. Before we entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was the Chet of the Meraglim. Every single time in Klal Yisrael's history, when we achieved something great, we rose to a new level, there was always a very dark period that preceded it. I think of Tzadik writes that before the entrance of the Baal Shem Tov, there was Shabtai Tzvi. Okay. But you can, if you trace Jewish history, you don't have to be such a historian. You'll see every time there was a great Aliyah, and Klal said there's always a difficulty that preceded. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. If Tzadik writes that we are not static. People are constantly in flux. We're constantly moving. We're constantly fluid. This goes back to Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYosher. Rabbeinu Tam in the Sefer HaYosher has a comment that's quoted by many of the Baalei Musar. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sina. There are days when it seems like the world is smiling on us. Everything is working. My davening is working. The kavan is working. The taisus is unfolding before me. You know, everything is clicking. Everything is working. Davening, learning, relationships, classes, whatever it is. The birds are chirping. The sun is shining. You know, there's music playing in the background. That's not bagpipes in the middle of Amsterdam Avenue. Whatever it is. It's all going. Then there are some days of Yemei Sina. It seems like the whole world is against me. Everything's failing. Davening's not working. Learning is brick wall. You know, relationships are failing. Fights everywhere. There's bagpipes playing something, you know. Bad music. It's raining, windy, stormy. Yemei Sina. That's life. Life is full of Yemei Ahava and Yemei Sina. Says Rabbeinu Tam, don't give up during the Yemei Sina. Know that it's part of the process. No, some days you're going to have to shove yourself to davening. Some days you're going to have to bang your hand against the wall and learning. Some days you're going to have to power through in order to get back to the Yemei Ahava. Because they're there. They're around the corner. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Right to Tzadik. That's what Yaakov Avinu realized. Yaakov Avinu goes to sleep at the Malkam HaMikdash. And what does he dream? He dreams of a Sula Mutzavaret, a version of Magia Shamaima, a ladder that goes from the ground to the heavens. Malach Elikim, Elim V'Yardimbo. There's Malachim going up and down. What did Yaakov Avinu realize? That life is full of ups and downs. To Shamayim. Sometimes we're going up, sometimes we're going down. But he wakes up and he says, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazev anochi lo yadati. Behold, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is here also and I didn't realize. What do you mean Hashem is here also and I didn't realize? Explains the Ari HaKadosh, it's in Kutei Torah. That is because Yaakov Avinu, until now, tried to stay awake his whole life, right? When he wanted to have an Aliyah, what did he do? He stayed awake. He never slept in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. What does sleeping represent? Sleeping represents when a person is, it's according to the Ari HaKadosh, b'moichen dekatnos. Moichen dekatnos is just a fancy language for means that a person feels like a katan. What does a katan do? A katan goes through life based on rules that he doesn't understand. We tell children, just follow the rules. Why is the teacher teaching this now? And what is his message pedagogically? Is he giving over? And why are we learning social studies? And we're not explaining it to the third grader. Just do as you're told. Moichen dekatnos. There's Moichen de Gadlos, that's an adult. Adult gets privy to, why do we teach this and not that? Why, you know, do I have to follow the rules? An adult, you can explain these things to. A katan can't. Sometimes in our religious lives, we have to act like a katan. You just have to follow the rules. It's not clicking. It's not understanding anything. Sometimes we're awake. We understand everything. That's Moichen de Gadlos. We're connecting. Life is full of times when we're awake, when we're asleep. That's why Hashem created us. We have to have awake times. We have to have asleep times. Yaakov Avinu thought sleeping was a waste of time. That's why he didn't sleep in Yeshiva Shem V'Yever. He was always awake. Then he slept. He had a dream of Malach Elokim Olam V'Yardimbo, and he realized, Achein Yesh Hashem B'Mokom HaZev Anochi Lo Yedati. That even in sleep, While I'm dreaming, I can also have Moichin de Gadlus. I can have a dream where I'm dreaming of Ruchnius. He recognized that sleep is helpful for being awake. You're stronger when you wake up. And the same is true in Ruchnius also. After the Yerida, you can have a greater Aliyah. You can have a greater Aliyah. That's what he recognized. Achein yesh Hashem b'mokoyim hazeh. Even in the sleep, because the Yerida facilitates a greater Aliyah. So getting back, that's what Rav Tzadik says. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't grow anymore, because there was no possibility for Yerida. Since there was no possibility for Yerida, there was no possibility for Aliyah. However, perhaps you can suggest just the opposite. Volbi writes in Alei Shur, quotes this Rabbeinu Tam, the fifth mimer in Alei Shur, first volume. He has whole arichas about this Rabbeinu Tam. And he writes it's critical for a Ben Taira to know this. The Alei Shur is basics. Hashkaf of a Ben Taira in Yeshiva. It's fantastic. Not that it needs my eskama. But Volbi there writes, every bachar in Yeshiva needs to know this. You may have it. You may sinna. This day's davening is going to work. This day's davening is not going to work. What's the tafkid? Hold on for dear life during the Yemei sinna to make it back to the Mayahaba. It's like a roller coaster when it goes down. You know, I don't like roller coasters, but people hold on for dear life to go back up, you know. Hold on, you know, during the storm so you can make it back to the days when things are calm, when things are placid. There's some people who live their life that way with vacations. They live their whole life in vacations. The rest of the year, they're just holding on to get back to the next vacation. Some people, the whole year, they're holding on to every Yemei Sinah, holding on, just hold on, don't give up, because there's Yemei Ahava coming around the corner. But maybe that's not the proper perspective. Maybe that's not the proper perspective. The Stipler writes in one of his letters, you're not judged by the Yemei Ahava, you're judged by the Yemei Sinah. And I think what he means by that is, the Tachlis is not like, we're telling the Yerida of the Tzarech the Aliyah. Hold on during the Yemei Sinah in order to get back to the Yemei Ahava. No, no. Maybe it's the Yemei Sinah that are the Iker. It's the Yerida that's the Iker, meaning serve Hashem during the Yerida. How am I going to do that? Thinking about the Aliyah. The Aliyah, the time that a person is awake, is enable a person to continue to hold on, continue to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even during the Yerida. Even during the Yerida. Meaning, when it's clicking, when davening's working, that should serve as inspiration to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu at the other times, but that's when a person's really judged. That's the measure of a Ben Torah. It's not when things are working, when things are clicking. It's when things are not, during the Yemei Sinah. It's the Yemei Ahava that energizes us for the Yemei Sinah, but that's the Tafkid. That's the tafkid. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Malachim that served him, you know, him in the perfect way, he would have created Malachim. Rabbi Yehuda answered, perhaps to Rabbi Zera, that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world for Malachim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Nis'av, HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyos lo dira b'tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to have a dira down here. A dira down here. And how do we do that, though? We have to be energized by the Yemei Ahava. We have to be energized by the time that, you know, when things are working, when things are clicking, to now serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when things are a little bit more difficult. So maybe the pshat is, if Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't distance himself from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he already became an Ish Elokim, what's the point anymore? What's the point? Not if I can't have a Yerida, I can't have a greater Aliyah. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't keep climbing. If Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't distance himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he didn't live in the world of the Yerida. So then the Aliyah isn't necessary anymore. The Aliyah is only necessary to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the times of Yerida, during the Dira B'tachtonim, during times of darkness. That's when it's important to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I do that? By the vacation. The vacation energizes me so I can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day of the year. I don't live from vacation to vacation. But the point is to take the vacation and use that as inspiration. Mahavdil, right? Use the inspiration to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu when things are more difficult. Kaiso is described in two different ways after Kabbalah Satara. We're described as a Mamleches Koinim and a Goy Kodesh. We're described as a kingdom of princes and a holy nation. A kingdom of princes, what is a prince? The prince is set off from everybody else. Prince has nothing to do with the Hamoin Am, with the plebeians. No. Prince lives in a palace. He's set off. What is a Goy Kodesh? A Goy Kodesh is a nation like every other nation in the League of Nations. Says Maral in a few places. The Kaiser functions in two ways. On the one hand, we're a Mamleches Koinim. We're a nation of, we're a kingdom of princes that's set off from the rest of the world. As Avraham Avinu says right to the Bnei Ches, Ger v'toshev anochi machim. I'm a stranger amongst you, but we also have to be a Toshev. We also have to be a Goy Kodesh. We also have to be a holy nation. Meaning to be a light unto everybody else, to show everybody else how to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. In order to do that, you have to show up in the League of Nations. You have to be there. You have to be a part of the other nations. A Goy Kodesh, you have to be a Goy like every other Goy. What enables us, though, to serve that role, to be a Goy Kodesh, is the fact that there's times when we are also a Mamleches Koinim. We have to know that we are Mamleches Koinim That enables us then, when we interact with the world, to be a goy kodesh. But there has to be a part of us that is set off, and a part of us that is attached. And it's the part of us that's set off that energizes us, that defines us when we're able to be attached. Mashal l'mal davadayma. I heard Avraham Lapiansky give this mashal. He was talking about something else, but it applies here too. He's a master of the question and answer. Big bal etza, bal hadracha. Fantastic. So he was asked by a guy, a question and answer, what's more important, strengthening yeshivas or doing kiruv? So, Rav Aaron is a wise man. He said correctly, both, right? We need both. But he had a fantastic observation. He noted that we weren't successful in doing kiruv until we had strong yeshivas. After we had strong yeshivas, all of a sudden our kiruv activities became much more successful. When we begin having big yeshivas that are powerhouses, palaces of Torah, then we began to be successful in kiruv. So he gave a mashal. Why? Why? Why is that? So he explained mashal to a person who's standing at the edge of his cliff and his friend fell off. He's hanging on, right? The friend at the top can throw a rope down to him to pull him up. But if I'm just standing at the edge of a cliff, my friend is hanging off, and I throw a rope to him, what's going to happen? If he pulls the rope, he's going to pull me off. What if I'm anchored, though, into the ground? I tie the rope to a tree. Then he'll be able, and I could throw the rope. If he's right over the ledge, I could throw a rope to him a little bit and pull him up. If he's far down, I can't throw a rope to him and just tie it around my waist. What's he going to do because of the gravity and the force of gravity? He's going to pull me off. If I tie it to a tree, which is well anchored, you know, which is secure, then I could pull him up even though he's far down the cliff. So too said Rav Aaron. He said, if we have yeshivas, we can throw a life preserver to people who are far away and pull them back in. If our foundation's not strong, we can't pull them back in, you know, because they're going to pull us out. It won't work. So you need one and the other. I believe that's what the role of the Yamim Neroim is. The role of the Yamim Neroim is to lay a foundation, to make ourselves secure. It's the time for the Mamlechas Koinim. In a certain sense, it stands apart from the rest of the year. We do Hanhoges, Tfilis, Chumris. We don't do the rest of the year. But what is the purpose of it? The purpose of this Aliyah is to then serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yerida, in the rest of the year, when we're not as connected. So in a certain sense, Rosh Hashanah is connected to the rest of the year. It's the foundation which enables us to throw the string to the rest of the year and allow us, you know, to draw on the inspiration from this period of time. So we're planting an investment now that's going to reap fruits throughout the rest of the year. But where do we call Kadosh Baruch Hu from? Not from the top of the mountain. We call Kadosh Baruch Hu now during the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. From where? Mimamakim Kirasicha Hashem. The Ari HaKadosh writes in the Shara Kavanah, it's a minute to say Shir HaMalos every day, Mimamakim before Yishtabach, because we call Kadosh Baruch Hu from the Mimamakim. That's where we end up serving the Ribbono Shel Olam throughout the rest of the year. It's not from the hilltops of Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, but from the Mimamakim. And we're thinking now about the Mimamakim, and how do we do that? How do we preserve ourselves during those times? Is by laying a foundation now during the Yom Neirom. So Yom Neirom is a special time, but it's not set off. It is set off in the rest of the year, but in a certain sense, it's what defines it the rest of the year. So Rabbi said we should be Zaycha, and we should everyone exceed Chesima Teva during this period of the year, though. Understand the opportunity that's before us, plant a foundation, secure ourselves, and our holiest aspirations in Amir Hashem, those goals, those aspirations, the experience of the Yom Neirom should continue to inspire us throughout the rest of the year.